Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith. As it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing Quranic supplications. In the last episode, we went through the dua from Surah Al-Baqarah, in which we touched on different aspects such as knowledge and approaching it with humility, and the importance of knowledge with wisdom. Now, today we are going to be covering a dua which I could probably say is one of my favorite duas, all-time favorites. And it's really difficult to say that. It's really difficult in general to say that this dua is my favorite, or this verse is my favorite, or, you know, this particular chapter is my favorite. And all of us, we have that struggle. Why? Because obviously the Quran in its entirety is amazing. The Quran, you know, certain chapters we can relate to, certain stories we can relate to, you know, certain duas, they can be used in different times or in different situations of life. So it's very difficult to say that, you know, it's very difficult, in other words, to pick one dua over the other. But I would say that this particular dua is an exception. Why is it an exception? Because it covers all areas of life, right? You know, there's certain duas that you can use or you can recite, you know, if you're ill, if you're unwell. There's certain du'as, if you're looking to get married, if you're looking to have children, you can recite those du'as. But this du'a seems to encompass all of those. And it's a du'a that many of you are familiar with. It's a du'a that probably many of you have memorized and have been reciting since you were very young. And this is none other than the du'a from Surah Al-Baqarah, again, verse number 201. And the du'a is as follows. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And we can translate this dua as, our Lord, grant us hasana, grant us success or goodness in this life, grant us success and goodness in the next life, and protect us from the fire, protect us from the punishment of the hellfire, in other words. Right? So you can already see how, you know, encompassing this du'a is. In fact, many of the scholars say that this is one of the most comprehensive du'as in the entire Quran. One of the most comprehensive du'as, because it covers all aspects, all areas of life. And that's exactly what we are going to be discussing today. Now look, success means different things to different people, right? To one person, success means having having a lot of money, earning a lot of money, you know, maybe becoming a millionaire. To other people, success means owning a nice home, driving a nice car. Other people, success is, you know, just attaining a position, right? Or, you know, reaching a certain point in their lives. For other people, it's success for them is, you know, settling down and, you know, getting married and having children and raising them well. That's success to them. To others, you know, it just varies throughout, right? Success means different things to different people. And of course, the scholars of the Quran and of tafsir, they have also discussed, you know, what does hasana, what does success here actually mean? And again, there's different opinions. Some say that success in this life means, you know, to have good health, to have, you know, a good amount of wealth. Some say that it means to have a righteous spouse, right? And in the hereafter, it means to attain paradise, and so on and so forth. But the truth is that success really, it encompasses all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, in this particular dua that he's teaching us, he has not, you know, specified anything to do with, you know, a spouse or anything to do with family or anything to do with wealth. Rather, it truly does encompass all things, right? So when we say success, it means everything that is good, everything that is beneficial. We are asking Allah for that when we say that we want success in this life and success in the hereafter. And there's one particular statement that I really, really like from one of the Salaf, who said that one who has a heart that is appreciative, in other words, one who has a heart that is, full of shukr and it appreciates, and a person has a heart which is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if a person has a tongue that often remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if a person has a body which is able to endure with patience through difficulty and through trials, then this is the definition of having success in this life, which I think is beautiful. You know, having that appreciative heart, having a tongue that remembers, having a body that endures. You know, these truly are things that we should be working towards. All of us, we work towards, you know, trying our best to excel in our careers. Many of us, we work, you know, towards attaining positions. And this is okay. We're going to discuss that as well. But this is okay. There's nothing actually wrong with aiming for these things, right? You know, you can aim to have a good job, you can aim to have a good career, you can aim to have money, right? So all of these things are fine, and we're going to come to that. Now, this is the first part of the dua, which is success, right? In this life and in the hereafter. But then we have the ending of the dua, which is وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and guard us and protect us from the fire. In fact, in another part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازِ. Whoever is saved from and removed from and turned away from the fire, from the hellfire, and whoever is entered into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازْ, this person has attained success, right? So when we think about success, this really is it. This really is it. Like, if we are turned away from the fire, if we are entered into paradise, that is true success. And of course, that is more so to do with the hereafter. Okay. Now, coming back to this whole discussion on, fine then, hereafter we understand, like hereafter I understand what success means. It does mean to be saved from punishment. It does mean to be entered into paradise, you know, with a swift account. It does mean to be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day where there is no other shade except His shade. We understand that, but what does success mean in terms of this life, and can I be successful in this life? Is it a bad thing? Should I just spend my entire life worshipping Allah, and should I spend my entire life, you know, in the masjid or just reciting Quran or in sujood? Okay, now look, at the end of the day, we are human beings, and human beings have certain needs, human beings have certain roles and responsibilities, and human beings, they are required to do certain things. So for example, we all have to work, we all have to take care of our families, we all have different commitments, we all have different roles to play. Now, there is nothing wrong with wanting to excel in different roles. So like I said, is it wrong for a person to have an aspiration that they want to make a lot of money? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Yes, there is a caveat here, and that is that if we let that wealth consume our hearts, whereby it takes us away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course this is wrong. Of course, then we are now, you know, leading ourselves towards a path which could potentially lead towards, you know, destruction, right? Rather, we can have a lot of money, right? We can possess a lot of goods and wealth, but we must be in control of it. We can't let it control us. One of my teachers used to say that you can have, you know, a £50, a $50 note, you know, you can have a signed check in your pocket, right? You can have that. You can have those notes in your pocket. You can have signed checks in your pocket, but never let a penny or a dime enter into your heart. That was powerful for me to hear. Right, so you can have it, just don't let it enter into your heart. And this is why Allah says ultimately, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً, that your wealth and your children and your family, they are a fitna for you. And straight away we think, whoa, you know, my family are a fitna, wealth is a fitna for me, right? Because we think that, you know, fitna is this like really, really negative, you know, bad thing, and it, you know, we have to like protect ourselves from it. So maybe it's good to not have any wealth, or maybe we should distance ourselves from our families. No, that's not what fitna means. It means it's a trial. Your wealth is going to be a trial for you. For some people, they have a lot of wealth. Allah is trialing them, that let me see how they respond. Are they allowing it to consume their heart? Are they still generous? Are they giving for my sake? Are they helping others with what they have? And for others, they are tested with wealth by not having much of it. So their test is very, very different. They're being tested to see how enduring they are, how grateful they are with the little that they have, and so on, right? And with family, it's the same thing. Your family, your children are going to test you, right? It is a test to raise your children in the best possible way. It is a test, you know, sometimes with your own parents, sometimes with your own siblings. This is a test, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing, are you maintaining those ties? Are you spending your time with them? Are you grateful for what you have, and so on, right? So there's nothing wrong. In fact, we have examples from the best of people, you know, Anbiya, the messengers, alayhimus salam, such as Yusuf, alayhi salam. You know, after everything that he went through, by the end of his life, he attained a very, very high and honorable position, becoming the treasurer of Egypt, one of the highest positions that there could be. He now had, you know, a status. He now had popularity amongst the people. He now had wealth. Right? There was nothing wrong with that. Do you know why? Because he always had his focus on the next life. And he used what he had to help those around him. Sulaiman alayhi salam, the great prophet, he was, you know, he had a kingdom that no one else could dream of. Because he made a dua that give me such kingdom that no one else can have. It's not befitting for anyone else to have such a kingdom. So Allah gave him this. He had control over things that it's unimaginable. Control over jinns, control over wind, and so on and so forth, right? He had everything that a man could desire. But again, he never let this get to him. He continued to work on his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So summary being that there's nothing wrong with aiming for success in this life. Whatever success means to you, just don't let it divert you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again describes the companions in the Quran, He says, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. That these are such people, these are such men, that they do not allow their wealth, right? They do not allow their transactions, their trading, their business to divert them and to make them heedless and to distract them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from establishing the prayers and from giving their zakat, right? It didn't distract them. There were many companions who also were, we could say, multimillionaires, you know, if they were in our time, you know, companions such as Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, companions such as Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. These were, you know, very, very wealthy, well-off companions, but they were so generous at the same time. Right, they were people who used to stand in night in prayer. They were people who were very, very grateful. They were people who, you know, did not become so attached to this worldly life. And that's the thing. We have to understand that this abode is temporary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا أَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. But the reward of the hereafter, the reward of the next life is far greater for those who have believed and for those who used to be mindful and conscious of God. So this is the most important, that yes, we can attain goodness in this life, but always remember that the reward of the hereafter is always going to be far better, far greater. And that takes us to the next part of the verse, which is that give us success in the next life, which is very, very clear. But ultimately, our aim in life is to be Jannah driven, meaning that Jannah should be our primary focus. How do we attain Jannah? By pleasing Allah and through His mercy. That's ultimately it. And the best way to attain His mercy and to please Him is by doing as much good as we can with the limited time that we have on this earth, right? So that is the ultimate goal, to be admitted into the highest levels of paradise and to be in the company of the righteous and to be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This should be our ultimate goal, where there is permanent happiness in the hereafter. But in this life, there's not permanent happiness. Where there is permanent joy in the hereafter, there is nothing. Allah says when He describes Jannah, He says, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا إِلَّا سَلَامًا. They're not going to hear, the inhabitants of paradise are not going to hear any idle or any ill or any negative speech. إِلَّا سَلَامًا. Except only words of peace, only words of positivity. So really, this life is not the life for settlement. It's not the life for you know, eternal happiness. That is reserved for the hereafter. And finally, you know, in the last part of the dua, that we ask Allah to protect us from the hellfire. There are two extremes, as we've mentioned. And by the way, just before this verse, verse 201, Allah talks about the people who go to the other extreme. He says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ. There are those people who say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Our Lord, right, they call out to Allah and they say, our Lord, give us in the worldly life. And that's it. They don't go further than that. They don't ask for anything in the hereafter. They don't ask for success in the hereafter. They're just so focused on this worldly life, that's all they ask for, right? So what does Allah say? وَمَا لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. They're not going to have a portion of the hereafter. They're not going to get anything in the hereafter. Yes, we may give them. And sometimes you might look around you and say, well, how come so-and-so, such and such person, they have a nice car, you know, but they don't seem to be, you know, praying much. First and foremost, we don't need to, you know, busy ourselves with other people and their relationship with God, right? But yes, sometimes, you know, these thoughts may occur. But listen, at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still give these people, but remember, like we said, the reward of the hereafter is far greater. So Allah says there are those who call to Allah and only ask for the good of this worldly life, but they will not have a portion of the hereafter. However, then you have those who make this dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, that give us the best of both worlds and protect us from the fire. What does Allah say about them? أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا, that they are going to have the real portion. They're going to get the real share based on what they earned. Based on what they earned in this worldly life, they are going to get that share, meaning that they can get the best of both. Wallahu sari'u al-hisab, Allah is the most swift in account, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hesitate in giving this to us. But it requires some effort, it requires some work. So we need to work for both worlds, and there's nothing wrong with that. So this is another dua that we learn, one of the most comprehensive duas in the Quran, one of the most beautiful duas. Like I said, you can kind of understand now why it's one of my favorites, why it's many of your favorite duas. And this is a dua that we should constantly be reciting, right? And the Prophet ﷺ would make this dua very, very frequently. Like when he would be in sujood, when he'd be in prostration, this is one of the du'as. In tawaf, this is one of the only du'as, you know, as you're going around the Kaaba, where you recite. And this is, you know, like we said, such an amazing du'a. Such an amazing du'a which teaches us so much, but ultimately it encompasses so much. And it reminds us of why we are here, and it keeps us focused. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us all the best in both worlds. Don't forget to continuously and frequently recite this dua as much as you can, inshallah. And we will be back next time to cover another Quranic supplication. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.